six Christmases ago, I preached one of my first sermons here, and I used the illustration of the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And in that sermon, I might have altered my voice in a way to sound a little scary and creepy, and I made one of Jim and Sylvia's grandsons cry. It was the landmark way to start a career as a preacher, is to make a child cry in a sermon. And the point of that illustration was to show how Santa Claus is kind of creepy, frankly. He's watching children, according to that song, day and night, and it's just a kind of a creepy thing. But that song kind of gets to the heart of our parable this morning. Because when we think about that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, what are parents looking for? They're looking for their kids to have good behavior, to be good throughout the year. And so the song kind of works as a warning. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty, who's nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. The point of the story, the point of the song, is a warning to kids to be ready. Be ready, because Santa Claus is coming. And in this song, how are you ready? You're ready by your good behavior. You're ready by being obedient to mom and dad. Be ready. Santa Claus is coming to town. In our parable, there's this warning as well, that someone is coming, and you need to be ready, ready for when they come. In the parable, Jesus tells, it's about a groom, a bridegroom. He's coming to his wedding feast. And outside the wedding feast, there's 10 young women. And we can picture these young women as though they're kind of bridesmaids, kind of in that role. And these young women are waiting down the road from where the wedding feast is going to take place. They have their oil lamps, and in order to be ready to receive the groom, to receive him in the honor that is due to him, they want to have these lamps lit so they can show him the honor and the respect that he deserves as he comes into his wedding feast. Now, in this parable, we can assume, I think correctly, certain things. That the groom, the bridegroom, is Jesus Christ. Certainly in other places in Scripture, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom. The wedding feast that he's coming to is the end of all things. It's the celebration that is eternal life. And we heard this in last Sunday's gospel text as well, that the wedding feast is the celebration that is the end. It's for those who have faith. It is eternal life. And the 10 girls, in this case, represent you and I, the members of the church on earth. And like little children who are to keep watch and to be ready for Santa Claus's coming, the message of this parable is that we as the church are to keep watch and be ready for the groom's return, for Jesus and his coming into the great wedding feast. The problem is that unlike children, on Christmas, we don't know when the groom is going to arrive. Children know that on Christmas Eve, on that night, that is when Santa comes, and he only comes when you're asleep. That's documented fact, right? He only comes when you're asleep. We don't know when the bridegroom will come. And so in this parable, we have five young women who are foolish, and they're not ready. They're not prepared for the bridegroom's arrival. And we have five that are wise, and they are prepared for his arrival. So that when the bridegroom finally comes, those who are ready and prepared. They receive him and they go into this feast with him. Those who are not ready, they're left out in the dark. And as they call in, the bridegroom says flatly, "I don't even know you." We are all of us, the young women, waiting for Christ, the groom, the bridegroom. And the reality is, the fact is that we will at some point meet him. We might meet him in our death, or we will meet him in some glorious return of Christ. The reality is that we will meet him. The question of this parable is whether we will be prepared or not. A good song for this parable, actually, and a good way to kind of sum up what it is to be ready and what it is to be anticipating the Lord is from a kid's song. I don't know if our kids sing it in Sunday school. I don't know that we've done it in VBS, but you probably are familiar with it. It's that, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day." That was way off key at the end, I'm sorry. The break of day is the return of Christ. And the song is a prayer that God would continue to keep our oil filled. These candles, I have to fill every two services. You notice in the second service, you'll notice that on Wednesday, because I won't fill them, I don't think, tomorrow. You'll notice on Wednesday, some of them don't do as well. I haven't mastered Bob's ability to fill the candles yet. I don't know. But they need to be constantly filled in order to burn brightly. To have oil in your lamp is to be ready for the bridegroom, to be ready for Jesus. To have oil in your lamp certainly means having faith. But it's more than just a cursory knowledge. It's more than a statement of fact. I have faith that the sun will rise in the morning. That's factual. Having faith is having trust, to put your life in something you believe. Having faith is evident in a life. It means living a life that is full of repentance, and a life that is full of repentance is one that acknowledges that we need the Lord. We need His forgiveness. We need His salvation. We need Jesus. Having faith means to persevere through the strength of Christ, through trials and temptations. Having Jesus is to have humility and courage in service to others in the name of Jesus. This parable leaves us with a question. Are you ready? Are you filled with oil? Do you have oil to keep burning, burning, burning? Now, in today's parable, it can be a little confusing because in the parable, the role that we play in this story that Jesus tells is as the bride's maids, those waiting on the outskirts to receive Christ or to receive the groom into his wedding feast. Usually, though, in the New Testament, we play the role, the church plays the role as the bride to Jesus, the groom. And the good news about this is that Christ desperately wants to have this wedding. Jesus desperately loves his bride. And he knows that his bride is sometimes troublesome, many times unfaithful, certainly quite often wants to run from the altar. But Jesus will do anything to keep his bride at the altar for him. He does not want to lose her. And so Jesus will do everything he can to make sure that you and I have oil in our candles, oil in our lamps to keep burning, burning, burning till the break of dawn. Jesus will do all he can to give us the faith necessary to remain in him. There's going to be times where it is hard. There's going to be times where we think it would be easier to not have faith in the Lord, frankly. But he will do what he can so that we have what we need through his Holy Spirit. I want to close with a verse from a third song. We quoted from Santa Claus is Coming to Town to Give Me Oil in My Lamp. I want to quote now from In Christ Alone, my favorite hymn. The last verse, I think, sums up a life of faith and what it looks like. A life of faith is one that has no guilt in life and no fear in death because of the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, a life of faith is one that has Jesus who commands our destiny. In a life of faith, there's no power of hell, no scheme of man that could ever pluck you from the hand of Jesus till he returns or calls you home. Here in the power of Christ, you'll stand. Here in the oil of Jesus, you stand. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your life. As we go through the trials of our lives, Lord, keep us ready. Keep us burning. Keep us filled with oil. Keep us filled with faith. In those difficult times, in those good times, keep us faithful in you, that our trust would always be in you. We pray this in your name. Amen.